When I first visited this church, I think maybe over a year and a half or so ago, I had been having talks with God. And sometimes you talk to God, and I was like, well, Lord, I was just telling him, I said, you've given me a thing to do, but I don't really fit into anybody's mold. I don't even know how to describe what that thing is. And some people are doing things that are not bad, but I don't feel I'm supposed to do that. So, Lord, you know, what do you want me to do, and why'd you make me this way, right? You know? And sometimes your friends who are other preachers love you and figure if we just give you so-and-so CDs, you would become just like him and be good like us. And they don't mean it to be bad. They'll give you Kenneth Copeland CDs or Bill Johnson CDs or T.D. Jakes because they want you to be a little version of them. But I love the scripture God gave you. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me is not in vain. So I was visiting the church and been talking to God about, Lord, well, who do you want me to be, or should I do what some of my friends say to be cool or whatever. And Cammie is like, hey, can I give you a word? I'm like, sure. If it's God, it's going to bless me. If it's not, it's not going to hurt me. And that was just my attitude about it. And it was the most amazing thing where she said, you know, you've been talking to God about, you know, what he's called you to do. He said he didn't call you to fit in. He called you to stand out. He made you unique. He made you different. So I'm grateful for the gifts of God that are in this house, that anytime we come together, the Holy Spirit's here ministering through the people. And I believe one of the reasons it works so well here, the Bible says the gifts of the Spirit are given for the edification of all. That there's not a competitiveness or a selfishness with the gifts, but there's an unselfishness and a desire to see everybody become what God has for them to be. Amen. So I just want to encourage you here this day, this afternoon. I want to say this morning, but it's not morning. It's morning somewhere else. Is that God knows where you're at. He knows who you are. He knows the desire of your hearts. He knows where you're at, and he's got you. Amen. Amen. I want to preach to you about Jesus is in your boat. And if you have your Bibles, we'll go to the Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. One day preachers will get to preach sitting down. It'll be good. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus sat down to preach from a boat, and he taught them many things by parables. Now, I just gave you that. Let's jump over to verse 35. Mark 4, 35. Now, on the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And there were other little boats with him also. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing or that we are dying? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, how are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they were feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? I just want to pray over you this afternoon. Father, I just thank you for your people, God, as we gather here. Lord God, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. I pray that he equip us for every good work that you prepare beforehand for us, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in this service. Glorify your Son, Lord God. And Father, I thank you. People are going to walk out changed by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus had been doing what God had assigned him to do, which is to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. He had been preaching all day, and Jesus, before you had the internet, before you had microphones, before you had people promoting your ministry or radio ads, he was such a dynamic minister that people crowded him on the beach just to hear what he had to say. In fact, it was almost to the point where he had to get in the boat not to get crushed. And the people were so hungry, they sat on the seashores hearing the words of God, and Jesus' disciples were with him. And now the time had come where Jesus was finished ministering. It's like, hey, we're going to go to the other side. Jesus was doing what God had called him to do and said, we're going to go to a place that God's called us to go in God's will. And all Jesus really wanted to do was to rest. I want to give a side note because we have a lot of ministers in here and people who would do ministries. If God created the world in 6 days and rested, if Jesus was God's son and rested, he is not against you resting. Jesus had done what God had called him to do, and basically he just needed a little R&R before the next big adventure. And in the middle of God's will, something bad happened. a terrible storm happens. Now listen, these men were fishermen. They were experienced at being in the sea. You know, I have a friend, he's a preacher, he travels, and he was on the airplane going from one part of America to the next, and suddenly they got hit with some bad turbulence, and everybody in the plane is freaking out. They're praying to God. People are turning white, and he looks, and there's a man completely asleep with a newspaper over his head. And eventually he said, "Man, what's wrong with you?" He's like, "I'm a pilot." He's like, "This is nothing. I am used to this. It's not a big deal." Well, the disciples were fishermen. You could say that they were used to if it's bad enough where they're freaking out, this is a bad situation. Did you ever feel like you did what God called you to do and things didn't get better? Did you ever feel like you're on your way to do what the Lord had assigned you to do and actually things got worse? They had just done what God had called them to do, and they were being obedient, and in the middle of their trip from one side to the other, this storm is so bad that these men are figuring, we are going to die. I just want to give you three simple things this morning. This storm was not going to take them out. This storm was trying to steal their faith. You see, the storm could not destroy them because the Prince of Life was with them. The Prince of Life was with him. Jesus is with you. Satan can't take you out. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what thing you're going through that's interfering with you and the destiny that God has for you, it can't stop you. But what it wants you to do is to change your opinion of God's word, of God's power, and God's love for you. Jesus said we're going to the other side. The Bible says that heaven and earth would pass away, but his word would never pass away. All the promises of God are yes and amen to God's glory for us. It says that the whole universe could fail, but one tittle of the word of God would never fail you. Now, tittle's a funny word, but I looked it up. It means half a stroke of a period in the Hebrew alphabet. That means that the whole universe could fall apart, but the period in your Bible is not going to fall apart for you. If God has promised you something, stand on the promises of God. If he said your whole household will be saved, I don't care how crazy Uncle Joe is, he will be saved. If he said you would walk in good health and prosper, even if you have a negative report, God will raise your body up. He's given you promises. So the storm that came went after their faith, and the first thing it said is God's word's true? Did God really mean what he said? Is it really going to happen for you? Maybe it will happen for other people, but it won't happen for you. Maybe, you know, that's not what God really meant. And when you try to get into that type of thinking, you end up having Ishmael with Abraham and Sarah. When you get into that type of thinking, you go to church, but you quit expecting anything. When you get into that type of thinking, you could almost begin to compromise. Well, maybe God really didn't. No, I want to tell you, when God said it, he meant it. The Bible says he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he spoke it, he'll do it. If he said it, he will bring it to pass. He will keep his word to his own hurt. The Bible said he exalted his word above his name. That meant his word above his authority. Even though he has the ability to change his mind, he said, I swear by myself I won't. He upholds everything by the word of his power. And if he's spoken some things into your life, no matter how bad that storm is, it's going to happen. So don't give up on the word of God. Look at your neighbor and say, don't give up on the word of God. Amen. So they begin to doubt the word of God. The next thing I want you to see is this great storm is happening. Jesus is in the boat asleep on a pillow. You know, the centurion came to Jesus and said, if you just spoke the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus had spoken the word. The storm happened. They begin to doubt that word. When they begin to doubt the word, they begin to doubt who Jesus was. Now, here's the thing. Jesus was so anointed, people were trying to crush him to touch him to get healed. There was a woman with the issue of blood who said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. The people literally pressed him to touch him to receive healing. Now, this is one of the benefits of being on Jesus' staff. He was in the boat. I didn't have to touch the hem of his garment. I could get his whole head. I could touch his feet. I could touch I got him. He's here with me. But when you begin to doubt God's word, you begin to doubt who he is. And all of a sudden, the doubt over what God had said led them to doubt who he was and forgetting who they are. I want to encourage you, wherever you go in life, God is with you. The Christ, the anointed one, the hope of glory is inside of you. Jesus' name was Emmanuel. God tabernacled amongst us, but now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I love great churches. I love great churches, but you don't have to go to a other side of the world, whether it's Hillsong or Bethel or anywhere. We can come here together and receive the same Spirit of God inside of us. So when you begin to doubt the Word of God, you begin to doubt the power that's inside of you. The Bible says, by your God, you could run for a troop and leap over a wall. It said the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside of you, giving you life and giving you strength. He's in you. It says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God would raise a standard against him. That's inside of you. So they begin to doubt God's Word. They begin to doubt who he was. And then they asked a really funny question. Woke the man up from his rest and said, don't you even care that we're dying? It's not just that, Jesus, don't you care we're not going to get there. No, at this point they gone for, we're not going to get there until we're all going to die. It's good to have people who know you and root for you. Amen. Whew, totally trusting him. And he said, Lord, don't you care that we're dying? Don't you care? Care means to have affection and love when you just begin to look it up. Who did they ask that question to? Don't you care? Lord, don't you care? 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. If anyone has seen God, God is love. So you could say, love, don't you care? Love, don't you care? And when you begin just to ask yourself, love, don't you care, you realize how ridiculous the question is. But ultimately, they had gotten to a place where it was so bad, not only did they doubt his word, not only did they doubt who he was, they ultimately began to say, does he even care about us anymore? You see, don't let the enemy get your mind off of Jesus. Don't let the enemy get your mind off the promises of God. The thing that you're going through is not a reflection of God, how God feels about you. In fact, sometimes in church, if we're not careful, we get mean to people. What I mean by that is we'll say, well, the reason you're going for that is God's teaching you a lesson, giving people a schizophrenic view of God. Or if you had enough faith, you wouldn't go through it. Well, they had Jesus and they still went through it. In fact, I'd have to remind you what it says in Peter, that all those who desire to live a godly life will suffer. Shasha. You say, that's for my neighbor, it's not for me anyway. So they were going through this situation, and it was so bad, I began to say, does God really care? Does God really know what we're going through? I want you to know, the Bible says about this love that God has for us. If we look out above the heavens, so great is his love towards us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows your frame. He knows you're just us. It says, your mother and father may forsake you, but the Lord would take care of you. That you're in his hand and no man can snatch you out of his hand. The Lord has appeared of old to you, saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love and loving kindness. I would draw you to myself. In the book of Isaiah, the children of Israel said, God has forgotten us and our Lord has forsaken us. And God said, can a mother forget her baby and not have compassion on the son of the womb? Surely some may forget, but I could never forget you. If I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands, you are mine. He knows where you're at and he loves you. And if he is in your boat, the water may come in, but it has to stop. The storms may beat, but it can't beat you down. You might go through something, but you will not be crushed. You'll be like the Apostle Paul who says, these light afflictions, but for a moment, aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So Jesus stood up after the disciples had interrupted his nap and said, peace be still. What I want to encourage you with this is even if you feel like you failed in believing God's word, even if you feel like you've forgotten who he was, even if you had moments where you doubted his care for you, if you just call upon him, even if it's not a perfect call upon you, because this was almost kind of an insulting call upon you, that God still would love you and rescue you and bring peace in your situation in any way. So you can never boast and say it was because you were so spiritual, you were so good, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. And he brought peace into their storm and peace into their lives. I want to encourage you today, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the Shalom of God. Nothing broken, nothing lacking. He will speak peace into every area of your life. Wholeness, tranquility, the ability to sleep at night and get up in the morning that comes only from him. The world has to look for that peace. He gives it to you. In fact, what I love, he's so good, he gave his disciples that peace. He said, you can go into a home and say, peace rest on this home. When you know that you're loved by God, you can walk into any situation as a child of God. You can go into that hospital room and say, peace be in this room. I remember it was about 4 years ago, there was a young guy who was coming to our church, and he had been involved in gang and drug activity. He had become a Christian, and the people in his community had heard of that he was changing. Well, somebody said, we need to come to your house and use your cell phone, and our car's broken down. So he went out to get them jumper cables and his phone, and people shot him. And they sent him to the hospital. I got a call. His family asked me to go pray for him. They weren't sure if he was going to make it. And I went into the hospital room, and it was not a peaceful room. And, in fact, most of his family, who were gangsters, thought he was crazy for not being a gangster anymore. So when I looked in the room, they were not happy to see Brother Chesley with their relative who had been shot. If this God is so good, one of them fought it. He didn't say it out loud. Why did he let my brother die? So I went into the room and said, can I pray for this individual? Begin to pray for him. As I began to pray, not only was God touching him, all these gangsters start crying. And the peace of God that I didn't really feel at that moment came into that room instantly. You see, God will give you so much peace that you can go into situations that people would be intimidated by and bring his presence, his love, his joy, his strength into that situation. The awesome thing, that young man lived, and his brothers who thought he were crazy came to our church and became believers and left that lifestyle. You can go release the peace of God into circumstances. So Jesus spoke peace, even though they had not believed him totally. I want to encourage you. It was never about how much faith you had. You had faith in a faithful God. If you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you would say to that mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and it shall happen for you. Amen. Amen. Oh, man. If you look at this also, I want to point this out to you. It said, other little boats were with him in the sea. Other little boats were with him. What you go through doesn't just affect you. It affects other people. And when God brings you out, he's not just going to bring you out. He'll bring everybody else out with you just because he's good. He'll bless everybody in your company just because you're in that company. He'll bless everyone in your family just because you're in that family. He'll bless everyone in your church just because you're near them. Well, your neighbor doesn't know right now, they're near a blessing. Amen. Amen. I got to share maybe two more verses with you, and then we'll dismiss. Amen. Mark 5:1 says, they had come to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when they had come out from the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who was dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, the shackles had been broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. Always day and night he was in the tombs and the mountains, crying out and cutting himself. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he had said, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And he asked, what is your name? And he said, Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly that they would not send him into the country. And a large herd of swine were feeding near the mountains. So the demons begged him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter them. And once Jesus gave them permission, the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine, about 2,000, and ran the herd violently down the steep place in the sea, and they drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. When they went out to see what had happened, they came to see Jesus and saw the one who had the demons possessed and had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told it how it happened to him who had the demons possessed and about the swine. And they began to plead with him to depart from the region. And he got into the boat, but the man who had the demon's possession begged that he would go with him. However, Jesus did not permit it, but said, go home and tell your friends the great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. What I love in Mark chapter 6, verse 53 through 56, it says, when Jesus had come over into the land of Gennesaret, they anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. They ran through the surrounding region and began to carry out on beds those who were sick wherever they heard where he was. And when they entered into the villages or in the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many touched him, they were made well. So what you go through is not just you by yourself going through it. There were other boats in the lake. And what they were going through was a journey to get to Jesus' destination for one man. I want to encourage you with this. God will stop everything just for you. There was one man that Jesus had an intention to do ministry for, but that one man held the key to the entire region. So the one man who was so bad, Matthew said there was two of them in his account in the Gospels. was so bad that people traveled around so they could avoid him. Was so bad that he didn't just have a few demons, he had legions inside of him. So like 2,000 or 5,000 bad things. And what he was going through was so bad that when the pigs experienced it, they said, we don't want to be here no more. And this one man who was going through this thing was crying out at night. And what I think is very interesting, he lived amongst the tombs, which he lived amongst dead things. And people thought he was strong because they bound him with chains, but actually he was weak. He cut himself. The person he disliked him most was himself. And it's a terrible thing for people to think you're strong, but you're weak. And he was crying, says, nobody knows who I am and nobody knows what I'm going through. But I love the Bible says in Psalms, the poor man cried out to God and he heard him and delivered him from all of his fears. So you might be going through a thing that you think, nobody knows what I'm going through. People think I'm strong, but I don't feel like it. Because sometimes we come to church and we say, how are you doing? We say, I'm blessed. But God knows where you're at. And he would come through a storm, through a horrific situation, into the middle of nowhere to rescue you. And when the man saw Jesus, no matter how much had been against him, no matter how much bondage he was in, he could still run to Jesus and worship him. No matter what you're going through, no matter how bad it seems, I want to encourage you, keep believing God, keep seeking God, keep trusting God. He will bring you to a place of peace, deliverance, and tranquility. It doesn't matter how bad your relative is. They could have some issues. This man had a lot of issues, but God heard him. So Jesus delivers this man, and you think the people would be appreciative, right? You think they would celebrate. The reaction was not, woo, it was, whoa. Because I'm sure most of us know Jews should not be raising pigs. Something was going on that shouldn't have been going on in that community. And whatever was going on was bad. Not only did they lose their ability to make money, they probably thought Jesus was there to call fire down from heaven on them. Because here's the thing. In church, if we're not careful, and I believe in miracles, signs, and wonders, but I also believe in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, we can have something happen, but if you don't explain it to folks, they might misunderstand the meaning behind it. They could just think you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So this man gets this deliverance. The people say, Jesus, this is too much, too soon. Please leave. We're not comfortable. But what I love about it, Jesus says, you know what? You go back and tell the people the good things God's done for you and how he had compassion on you. So the one man who was locked up became free. He goes around sharing the testimony of the goodness of Jesus. Jesus comes back to the same region we read in Mark chapter 6. And it says they couldn't wait to bring the sick to him. Because his testimony changed how people saw Jesus. And they gave them the ability to receive the things of God. I want to encourage you, God's going to do some good things in your life. And you will be a living testimony so people can come and receive the goodness of God and be changed. When we begin to proclaim God's goodness, when we begin to share the testimonies of the faithfulness of God, people say, you know what, if he did it for that person in the middle of nowhere, he'll do it for me. So God is not content just leaving you where you're at, but he wants to set you free to be a living testimony. What I love, it says in Hebrews 13:20, I'll read it to you and we'll just get to praying for people. The book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. It says, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing to his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. It says, the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete. In other words, he wants to make you whole. He wants to make you whole so he can work something good in you. You know, Jesus had to strengthen his disciples so they could go to the other side with him to reach one man. The reaching of that one man led to that whole region being set free. So no matter how busy you think God is in all of his being God and running the universe and hanging the stars in the heavens and having a plan for the church, God loves the church, but you are part of the church. And he is not content leaving you in a place of brokenness, leaving you a place where you feel not complete. He has a blood covenant with Jesus to make you whole so you can bear the fruit he's called you to bear. So this Mother's Day, this afternoon, I just want to pray the wholeness of God over you. If you just lift up your hands this afternoon.